When in church someone says the phrase, God is good, what is normally the next phrase that is mentioned? All the time. And then when we say all the time, God is good. So we know this morning, that God is good. So ask yourself this question. Is there ever a time that God is not good? No, God is good. God is always good. You can think of it this way. If it's good, it's God. Someone wrote a book one time and it says, if it ain't good, it ain't God. We need to know that. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and Jesus said, God is good. And the psalmist, says that the Spirit of God is good. So the fact is, we serve a good God. He's good. He's good to you. He's good to everybody. God is good. I remember one time when I got this deep revelation, and that was this. God is good, and since He's good, He does good things for people. The devil is evil, and because he's evil, he's the one who does the evil things to people. I really like this verse we're going to look at. Ephesians 2, verse 10, and this is from the Amplified Bible. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born again, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. God's plan is for you and for me to live a good life. I like that. That's a good verse. We're to live a good life that He's already prearranged for us. I like what it says. It says that the good life has been made ready for us. Made ready for us. At our house, when dinner is ready, Tammy announces it's ready. That means it's been made ready. Now, at that moment, the moment she says dinner is ready, we have a choice. To ignore the fact that it's ready, which is dumb. Or get up and go to the table and get some. It's been made ready. The Bible says that God has made, the good life has been made ready. It's already prepared. It's already on the table. It's already for you and I to come and get some of it. Isn't that awesome? It's a good life. We can choose, though, whether or not we want the good life. He wants us to get it. It's on the table waiting. Each one of us has an assignment from God. And as we walk in this assignment from God, the good life is promised to us. It's foolish for anyone to think that they would want to ignore God. Now, there are people who do, and we're not mad at them, but it's foolish that they would ignore Him because the good life is coming to that table. The good life is coming to the place that He's assigned. Every one of us has a path of goodness to live in. Why? God is good. He's good. Think about the creation. Abby started with that story during Truth Nuggets this morning. Think about it. Everything, when you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, everything that God created, the Bible says, after He did it, He said what? It's good. It's good. Everything God created is good. Good. Well, wait a minute then. On what day did God create cancer? He didn't do it. Because it's not good. Because God is good. He's very good. He's good to you. He's good to me. God is good. He didn't create the cancer. God is good. Now here comes the question. Why did God create all those good things? Because He had this family He's getting ready to have. He made it for man. He loves man, and He was creating all these good things with man in mind. Can you just see it? God, He planted that garden. He said, man, Adam is going to really like this. He is really, really going to like that. Because He had us in mind. When God created the earth and every good thing He created it with you in mind. And this is what I know. He's still creating good things for His family. He loves people. He wants you to have the good things He's creating because He's good. He didn't create the bad stuff. God is good. He's good. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. None. God is good. Can you just see Him, man? He's preparing this. Oh, man. You know, I think evil like that. It's kind of like when our kids were small at Christmas time and we'd go shopping for them. And we'd go, oh, man, they will really, really like this one. Because we love them. Because we just want to do good to them and do good for them. God is good. Look at this verse of Scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now, that's important. Money is not our source. We can't trust in money. Our trust is in God. But look at the last part of the verse. Who giveth us richly, what? A few things, because we don't want to be spoiled. No. Who richly gives us all things to enjoy. God has no problem giving things to you. Amen. Now, we don't want the things to be, we don't trust in the things. We trust in God. And as our trust is in God, God wants to give us everything. Because He's good. He's good. God, listen, God wants you to have as much as you can handle and keep Him first in your life. That's what He wants. He wants you to have everything. He wants you to have it all. God is good. He wants us blessed. He wants it. Why does He give them to us? To enjoy them. I heard somebody say recently that God doesn't give us things just to meet our need. God gives us things to enjoy. And in the process, they meet our need. God doesn't care if you have a good car. If you have one, He wants you to enjoy it. You see, when we cook the Christmas dinner at our house, we. When I say we, you know what I'm talking about. Why do we cook it? To enjoy. We enjoy it. I can't imagine anyone, any mom at Christmas time putting that dinner on the table and being disappointed because the kids enjoyed it. No, they want you to enjoy it. God has prepared a good life. It's on the table. He's saying, come on, guys, let's eat it up. I've given this to you. I want you to enjoy it. He's still creating good things for us to enjoy. On the seventh day, the Bible says, God rested. Oh, He was so tired. No, He wasn't tired at all. He rested because He was finished. His job was over. Now think about this. What was the very last act of work that God did in the creation process? We'd say, man, but what? That's not really the total thing. The last thing He did was He blessed man. He made the man, and then He blessed him. See, why would that be the last thing? Because once God pronounced the blessing upon the man, the blessing was more than just on him because man was created in his image. It sparked to life that thing that was in him. And now the blessing of God from the Spirit of God is alive in man. And God says, I don't have to do anything else because now that blessing that made everything is in that man I made. And he intended now for that blessing that's in us to do the work. Why? Because he's good. He's not afraid of us having a bunch of stuff. Well, I don't want to be rich because I might sin. If that's the only thing keeping you away from sin, you're in trouble right now. I found out something. People with no money can sin. It doesn't take a lot of money to be a sinner. It takes being born the first time. God, man, he said, all right, the blessing is in you, Adam. I'm done. And now, I like what the Bible says. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. It says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he, God, said, I've sworn in my wrath that if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The Bible says what God was going to do, he finished it from the foundation of the world. He already did it. How was it finished? By the blessing he breathed into Adam. Because he put his goodness into Adam. I mean, the finished work of the blessing of God already is in me. It's already in you. Wow, that's big stuff. God doesn't exaggerate. You're blessed. The Bible says, Peter clearly preached, Jesus Christ came to bless you. The Bible clearly states in Ephesians chapter 1, in the King James, it says that we are accepted in the Beloved. But the Greek word says, you are highly favored in Jesus. Highly favored. Blessed by God. The work is finished because the finished work is in you, the blessing of the Lord. That's why verse 11 of that chapter says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. So the blessing will do the work. That God. The word labor here doesn't mean toil. It means hurry. Let's hurry. Make this be our first stop to get to the place of the rest of God. Ooh, man, I like this. One time in the Scripture, you know the story where Balaam was hired by Balak to come and curse the people of God. And he gets up there and he looks down at them. You know, he's the guy the donkey talked to. He looks at the people of God, he opens his mouth, and he blesses them. And Balak came and said, hey, dummy, I hired you to curse them, not bless them. And Balaam said, you know what? You can't curse who God has blessed. Now, I was thinking about that this week. You can't, if God has blessed somebody, God isn't going to ever curse them. I was praying about it. I said, Lord, that's something. He will not curse who he has blessed. When he made man, he blessed him. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, son, I pronounced blessing on man. I merely announced the curse. Read the Bible and you will never find these words. And God cursed and put a name there. The Bible didn't say it. God never cursed man. When man sinned, he allowed the curse of the world from Satan to come to him and take dominion in his heart. But God didn't pronounce a curse. Because I'm going to tell you something. If God would have said, Adam, you're cursed, we would still be cursed. And there would be no resolve to the curse. God announced to Adam and Eve that the curse had arrived. He told them that. In that exchange, he never said, Eve, you're cursed with childbearing. Doesn't say that. He never said, Adam, you're cursed with this. Didn't say it. He said, the ground is cursed because of the system of the world. And the curse came, but God didn't announce the curse to Adam as a punishment or a sentence that he could never get free of. The Bible didn't even teach that. God announced the curse to Adam immediately, clothed them with animal skins, immediately shed blood, immediately dressed them, probably in the nicest set of clothing that has ever been made on the planet. Clothed them. He announced the curse, immediately went to work to absolve them from the effect of that curse. He told them it was there so that he could remind them, from this point forward, I'm working with you to resolve it. Because immediately he said to the snake, he said, I'm going to tell you something, snake. You did this, but she's going to have it. Her seed will come forth, and that seed will bruise your head, and you will only bruise his heel. Immediately God began to go to work telling the man, I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm going to help you out of this thing. I do not intend for you to live the rest of your existence cursed. Sin brings the curse. Disobedience draws it. But God announced that the curse was there, but he pronounced, blessed are you. You're blessed. You are blessed. And how do I know that? Because I know Adam and Eve figured it out. How do I know? Read about Cain and Abel. They're offering sacrifices to God. They were. I believe Adam said, okay, God, I'm with you. And he taught his boys how to offer sacrifices. Why did they offer the sacrifices? So they could appease God? No. They offered. You can't appease God with your flesh. No, it was to partner with God. It was this blood sacrifice that said, I trust you for a permanent remedy to come and deliver me from this thing that the devil and mankind agreed with for the curse. And so God said, let's work on it, man. Let's work on it until the permanent sacrifice comes. And you know that was Jesus. And he came and he shed his blood. The Bible says, one time for all time. And now, all of a sudden, man is now back in this place of the blessing without it ever being taken away from us. Now that's good news, isn't it? Why? God is good. We read the Bible and we think that we have this mindset that Adam and Eve were in. They were afraid. We have this mindset that God came and go, who told you you were naked? You curse now, boy. That isn't what happened at all. So who you been talking to? Oh, man, devil, you're in trouble. And a woman, man, I'm going to do something about this. God's good. He will not curse you. For anyone to make the declaration that they've been cursed by God, they are missing the whole thing. God blesses. Now there is wrath that comes, not to send people to hell, but the wrath comes to bring judgment, to clean things up. We have this mindset that says, God, man, he's judging stuff because he's mad at stuff. Well, all he wants is it to be clean and right because he loves people. God is good. Man, you ought to just say that to yourself over and over today. God is good. God loves you. The blessing is in your life because God is good, because God loves you. Let me just remind you of a few verses that you probably already know. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift Every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What kind of gifts does God give? Good ones. That doesn't include cancer. I don't care what universe you're in, you can't call that a good gift. Well, that teaches somebody a lesson. Baloney. It doesn't. As my phrase is, bull corn, it's not. It's not a good gift. Well, God gave him a car wreck. He didn't give anybody a car wreck. Why? Because it's a good gifts are what come from God. Oh, son, I want to give you a good gift. Let me break your leg. That's just child abuse. God is good. There's never been a day He's evil. He is only good all the time. Look at this verse of Scripture. Psalm 8, verse 4, and then verse 6. And David wrote this. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" Now, can you just see David? He's out there looking. This is my paraphrase. He's out looking. He's on his balcony. He's looking up. Sees those stars. He looks at himself. He realizes that God has blessed him. He said, "Well, who am I? What am I? God, you are so big. Who am I that you would even think about me? What about the Son of Man?" Talking about the Messiah, that you would visit him. Or can be talking about regular man. Verse 5 says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, has crowned him with glory and honor." Now the word angels, we know it, the word is Elohim. You've made him a little lower than gods. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You made him a little lower. You've crowned him. God crowned man with glory and honor. Why? Because he's good. The word crowned here means encircled. You are encircled today with glory and honor. And then it says, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands." Why? Because God's good. He said, "Son, I made it ready. I've got this good life for you to live, and I'm giving you this planet. It's my gift to you. In spite of the curse, I'm giving you the answers." I like Psalm 68:19. "Blessed be the Lord who," when? Daily. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Then that word, selah, that means think about that. Think about it. Have you got your load today? Well, not yet. Then get ready, because it's coming. Why? Because God loves you. He is good. Daily loads me with benefits. I'm going to give me a daily load today. Ooh, man. How big is your load? See, I'm expecting not just the semi-truck. I'm expecting the whole train with all those cars, and they're emptying them one at a time. My daily load. The Bible says He daily loads you. Daily. God is an everyday blessing God. Every day loves you. Every day is good. God isn't like some of us. He's not in a bad mood some days and a good mood the next day. He's good every day. Every day He loads us with benefits. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit." He says you can't even imagine all of it till you get in the spirit realm. And you can begin to see the daily load coming. The daily load that God is pouring out upon us. John 17, 23. Jesus said, "Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." God loves you. He is good, 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 good. Ooh, man. He sends His grace, His favor. Because He loves us. man, His grace is on us, His favor is on us, and that comes as we believe Him, and that favor comes on us for the purpose of living the good life so we can accomplish His plan in the world. Because He loves us. I mean, He wants you to enjoy your life. The only way to enjoy that life is to sell out to Him. Get the daily load. Do what He's called us to do. Man, I like that. See, that makes life fun. That makes it good to do. Amen? See, God loves us. And so, with that in mind, that tells me then that He didn't just put us here so we could live a life of defeat, because that's what the devil wants. He put this plan in place. And here's what He says. Just believe me. If you will believe me, I will do what I promised you. All you got to do is believe me. All you got to do is believe me. I remember one time, we set our kids down. They were small. I wish y'all could have known Ryan when he was little. I mean, he was one of the most fun kids you would ever... Ryder, if you see Ryder, that's the way Ryan was. You know how Ryder runs up here and slides to hear the truth nuggets? That's his daddy. I'm telling you, he was so easily excitable. And we set him down. We said, okay, kids, here's what we're going to do. Sunday, after church, we'll already have our car loaded, and we're going to go to Disneyland. Oh, man, Ryan began to dance around the room. I mean, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse. He was so excited. Why? Because he believed me. When I told him we were going to go, he believed me. And he didn't say, well, what do we have to do to get it? No, he didn't care. He knew all he had to do was get in the car, and we were going. He was so thrilled about it. We need to have that in our hearts. If God said it, if He promised it, yes. Yes, we have that. That means if it's impossible, not anymore. Even if nobody else has ever accomplished it, if God said it, it's possible. In fact, it's not only possible, it is so doable, because God now, who loves us and showers us with blessing, put the blessing inside of us, we can just release that blessing because of what He does. Look at our verse here. This is what we've been looking at this for the last several weeks. This is out of Mark chapter 9, and this is the Amplified Bible. The last part of verse 22 says, the man comes to Jesus, and nobody seems to be able to help his kid. He says, but if you can do anything, isn't that amazing? If you can do anything, do have pity on us and help us. I love Jesus' answer in verse 23. He says, and Jesus said, you say to me, if I can do anything? Why, all things can be. All things are possible to him that believes. Why? Because God is good. He didn't notice, he didn't say, all things are possible to those who will jump through the 39 hoops of our denomination's tenets of faith. He said, all you got to do is believe me. All you have to do, he said, all things are possible. Anything can be. If I believe. Now, he's not talking about me being 6'9" and playing for the Lakers. He's talking about anything the Word says, I can have. Any promise He's made to me in His Word is possible. No matter how impossible it looks. Why? Because He's good. And He didn't make it super complicated. He said, all you got to do is believe. All you have to do is believe that what I've said is true. The leper came and said, if you will, you can make me whole. That's been the Christian mantra for decades, centuries. If you want to, you can. What did Jesus say? I will. I want to. God wants you to arrive at the dream He put in your heart. God wants you to arrive at the promise that He handed to you. He wants you to have it. In that passage of Scripture, the if is not about His willingness or His ability. The if is about our ability to believe. If we can believe. We've tried to make this be very complicated and very religious, but it's neither of those. It's simply just saying, God, I believe You. Now, He's not talking about belief in the mind. He's talking about belief in the heart. And we recognize that that faith comes by hearing the Word, hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And one day that faith, that Word becomes revelation to us. And we believe. We simply believe because that's what He said. The Word comes. And that means the world is now ours to reach if we will simply believe the promise that empowers us to do so. The world can be reached. The neighborhood around our church can be reached. Not because we're going to go and invite them, but because we believe. Now, because we believe, we're going to go and invite them. We got to get something out of our minds right now. Well, when we go, they probably won't come. Or they probably won't want to hear the gospel. No, ma'am, and no, sir. I believe the good news of Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing on the planet. And I believe when we preach to them, they're going to love us and love the gospel and fall in love with Jesus. Why? Because God's good. If they're lost, He wants them born again. He's good. If they want to fight, they got to fight with somebody besides us. Because God's good. We're just going to share goodness with them. We're going to be it's going to be so good and so fun. Ooh, man. Turning our city right side up from the inside out is a matter of believing Him. And just saying, all right, You're good. You want them born again. Lord, I just am expecting when I hand out invitations to come and get a free hot dog to people, they're going to be saying, thank you. That sounds cool. I just believe, because He's good. He's good. He's good. Our belief releases the grace that opens doors that no man can shut and releases anointing that no demon can resist when we choose to believe Him. See, man, we're going to see healing, deliverance, salvation in every area of life when we simply believe the promise. In our lives, in the lives of those we get to minister to, we see the manifestation. The Bible is filled with regular people like you and me, the stories of them. Regular people like you and me who believed God and saw the impossible come to pass. It's filled. I mean, it's everywhere in the Bible. You see, we can't do it in our power. It's His power. But it comes as we just believe Him. It's really not that hard. We just have to believe Him. He's already made the determination that He will supply whatever is necessary to fulfill the promise if we'll just believe Him. It's already there. Praise God. Now, up here says the title of the sermon is Expecting Authority. I don't know if we're going to get to the expecting part today. We're going to talk about loving authority probably more than expecting it. We've seen that the impossible is not impossible with God. We've seen over the weeks that walls will come down that separate us from the promise. I mean, we've seen that if we can believe that. We've seen that if we can believe that empty pots will be gathered by our going to get them, and as we pour out the oil of the Spirit, He'll just move in our midst like we've never seen before. And as long as we keep bringing the empty pots, He'll keep moving upon them. We've seen that if we believe Him, we can take control of the meanest and most fierce enemies of faith. If we just believe Him and stand in the authority. We've seen that if we believe, we can operate in supernatural authority. We then can make demand not on God, but on the provision God has already made for our generation. We must never, ever, ever allow the devil to put us on the run. We're the ones who have the oil. We're the ones that God is good to. We're the blessed ones. We're not the only ones. Anybody who believes can receive Jesus Christ. See, it's kind of like, I heard a story one time of this guy. And he had a pet gorilla. He had the gorilla since he was a baby. And he always took care of the gorilla every day. But one time, for the very first time, the gorilla was pretty old now. And for the first time, the guy had to go out of town. And he had to find somebody to take care of the gorilla. So he went to his neighbor and he said, "Listen, my gorilla's pretty nice. And could you take care of the gorilla for me while I'm out of town?" And the guy said, well, sure. He said, "Okay, here's what I need you to do. 3 times a day, you know, at 9, at noon, and at 6 o'clock, 3 times a day, just go over and give the gorilla a banana. That's all you have to do. But whatever you do, don't touch him." Okay. So the guy every day went over and gave, at the regular times, gave the gorilla a banana and would step back and think, "Well, I wonder why I can't touch him. I mean, the gorilla looked nice. He was sweet. He looked really nice." And so he'd go and hand him a banana. And after a while, he thought, thinking, "He ain't going to hurt anything if I touch that gorilla. He's a nice gorilla." So one day, it just kind of got the best of him. And so he went. He gave the gorilla a banana and just kind of casually touched his fur as he went by him. Well, the gorilla literally went ape. Sort of jumping up and down. You know, beating his chest, making the noises, and just looking at him, and then begin to lunge at him. So the guy runs out the front door because the gorilla is chasing. The gorilla follows him right out the door. And he gets in his car, he starts driving away. Well, he noticed the gorilla has a car. He's chasing him down the highway. He's trying to get away from the gorilla. I mean, he sees the gorilla. The gorilla's waving his arms, trying to get to him. And finally, he goes and goes. He finally runs out of gas. He doesn't know what to do. He jumps out of the car. He starts running through a neighborhood. The gorilla gets out of his car, starts running through the neighborhood, following him. And the guy ran, and he ran, and he ran till he got dark. And he finally ran to this alley. He's hiding in the corner. He looks up, and all of a sudden, he sees this, you know, in the moonlight, the shadow of this huge gorilla coming to him. And the gorilla, there's no way out. The gorilla begins to pound his chest, begins to make the noise. And the guy, he's preparing for the worst. And the gorilla reaches out, puts his big old hand up in the air. And he brings the hand down upon the guy and he says, "Tag, you're it." That's about how much power the devil has over you. If you will recognize who you are in Christ, how good God is, how much He loves you, and that you have authority over everything the devil does. You have authority. See, we're talking in terms of winning a city, winning our neighborhood, but everything we talk about here can be applied in your own personal life. Never be intimidated by the devil. Never be intimidated. The Bible says in Philippians 1:28, I can't remember if I gave this to Ryan to put on the board or not, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God." He said, don't you dare, don't even be intimidated by them. Because when you stand and you say, listen, devil, you gave it your best shot already. And my Redeemer was raised from the dead. And you have already done the best you can do. And you might as well just understand you are doomed. The devil comes, just remind him. I love it. Just when the devil comes and says, "Oh, your past." Well, they say, "Oh, okay, well, let's talk about your past for a minute. Remember that brilliant rebellion you started in heaven? Look what happened. It failed. The difference between me and you, devil, is your failure's forever. Because you sinned and you rebelled of your own will. There was nobody to tempt you. You chose it. Me, I have a Redeemer. And He redeems the whole thing. Oh, and by the way, before you leave, let me remind you of your future. My future is with Him. I rule and reign in the New Jerusalem. Oh, you're going to be in the lake of fire. And at one point, you're never getting out. Don't be intimidated. We got to understand who we are in Christ and what we are. We have authority over the devil. Because God is good. He didn't leave us here just powerless and to operate in some kind of religion. We have authority, and we have to exercise that authority. Let me just read you a verse of Scripture, and I'm going to get here as far as I can get here for a few minutes. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Look what this says. And you know this verse. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the..." How much of His power? All of it. All. Now, God doesn't exaggerate. All the power of the enemy. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." He said, "I'm giving you authority." Jesus gave us authority over the devil because He loves us. He's good. He wants us to know that even though the curse is rampant, we have not been assigned that curse. We have authority. He desires that we live free of the curse of this age. He desires that not only we be free, but we help other people get free. And so we have authority here. He said He was giving us authority over all the power of the enemy. When did He do that? Well, we know from Matthew chapter 8, 28, verse 17. He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." When did He give us authority? When He took it away from the devil. I mean, He took the authority. He said, "It's been given to me. I now have all authority. And now that I have it, I'm giving it to you. I've retaken every spiritual realm of authority, everything in the earth, everything mankind abdicated to the devil. I've taken it back. And as a result of that, you now go in my authority and do everything that I'm telling you to do. And not only that, teach other people, because we want this thing to be bigger than what the devil ever feared." See, that's what we're after. The word authority here, or power, when it the first time, it literally is the Greek word exousia, and we've talked about this. It means delegated authority. That means the authority given to us by Him to do His bidding. He delegates it. He said, "Here's my authority, you can have it." In other words, you and I have authority from heaven, not from earth. It's godly authority. For example, a policeman who stands out and he directs the traffic, he puts up his hand and cars stop, even if they don't want to. He doesn't have the power to stop a car with his hand, but he has the authority. But it's not his authority, it's the authority of the city that hired him. And the drivers of the cars understand that if they disobey his command, then all the authority from that city is now behind him. And he can throw you in jail. If you try to run off, he'll get other guys to go get you because he has authority. Jesus is saying, "I'm giving you that kind of authority." You see, we have the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost, but we have authority from heaven. And what we bind is bound. What we loose is loosed. Because we have authority. I said, "I've given it to you because I love you. I care for you. I'm good to you." I mean, they have authority. I probably have told this before. One time I was working at a jewelry store in Amarillo. It was the day after Thanksgiving. And I mean, it was crowded. And this was out near the mall, and they had policemen directing the traffic because of the different department stores that were near the mall, and our store was near the mall. We were actually very close to the mall. And so this policeman is out here directing traffic. Well, there was a lady in this very nice car, and she was coming out of the department store, and she felt like the policeman wasn't operating quickly enough for her. Well, in fact, she was an elderly lady, and so the policeman told her to stop. Well, and the only reason I know this is because there was a policeman standing in the store where I was, and he's listening to chatter on the deal. And so he told her to stop. Well, she stopped, but she thought he wasn't going fast enough for her. And she obviously had some money and felt like she had some influence. And so he told her to stop, and he's doing some other things. He turned around, she creeped up, and he looked at her, and he said, "Stop." Well, she didn't take to that very well. She didn't like it. And so she moved up and bumped him. We're talking about delegated authority here. Didn't matter how much money she had. He walked over to the car, opened the door. Now, she's dressed nice. Opened the door, had her get out of the car, turned her around, and put handcuffs on her. And arrested her. Called for backup. Another police car came. Lights going now because they got to get through all this traffic. Go to where her car was parked. Put her in the back of the squad car and took her downtown. They called the wrecker to come and impound her car. She didn't understand authority. Turns out it was a holiday weekend. There are no judges on the holiday weekend. She was in jail until Monday morning. Because she didn't understand authority. The devil understands authority. Amen. When we speak in the name of Jesus, if I know who I am and I believe the Word of God, I have authority. Jesus gave me authority. He said, I have authority over all the power of the devil. It's authority. It comes from heaven. It's been vested on us by Jesus himself. We have authority. Oh, let me just read you. I got to take at least 5 minutes here. Ephesians 6, verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, this is talking about authority here. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. The phrase be strong comes from two Greek words that make one word. It's a compound word. And the Greek word is endunamaeo. Endunamaeo. It's a combination of the word dunamis, which means miracle, explosive power, and the word en, which is in our language. What this is saying is, it's saying be strong. The word be strong says there is, it literally, when they're combined, it literally is an explosive miracle power, an explosive miracle power, and the word means, is deposited within a receptacle, a jar, a bottle. He said, finally, my brethren, there is a supernatural miracle explosive power that has been deposited in you. Amen. That's pretty good, huh? Now, if you know that, if you understand this, when the devil comes and says, you can't come here, you're like Mario and the fireballs. Pew, 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 pew. Because it's explosive and it's on the inside of you. He said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now here's the deal. This strength, this supernatural deposit of explosive power that's in you is only available if you know that you are in the Lord. Now, do you know that? The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. Then the Bible says that we are in Him. The Bible says Jesus is what? Lord. If I am in Christ, I am in the Lord, and this miracle power now is in me, if I'm in Him. And the power, and in the power of His might. The word power is not the word dunamis. The word power here is the word kratos, which is more than just a miracle power. It's a demonstrative eruption that is tangibly seen. This isn't mental power. This is an explosion that takes place so everybody can see it. And the word might here is the word ishkus. And it conveys the picture of a bodybuilder, a muscle man. Somebody who is all muscle. So here's what it's saying. It says, brethren, there's a miracle power that's been deposited on the inside of you as long as you are in the Lord. And it is going to explode out of your spiritual muscles when you flex them. Amen. And the devil, when he sees that, he is not going to mess with you. Because he knows it's in you. He knows you know who you are. He knows it. He understands what you are and who you are. He doesn't want anything to do with you. That kind of authority comes Because God loves us. Because God is good. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children." Thank you, Lord. We're from you. And have overcome them. Talking about the demons and the spirits that are out there. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo! I'm telling you, the devil's days are numbered, ours are not. I mean, we are the ones that God has assigned this marvelous task of taking the gospel to the whole world. We're the ones who get to watch the devil run in terror from us. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And because he is in us. He loves us. He does good for us, to us, and with us. And we have this good life that we get to live. And we have the authority to operate in that kind of power in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning? Our Father, today we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you love us. I thank you, Lord, that when the curse came, it wasn't because you pronounced it, because you had already announced the blessing. I thank you, God, we are the blessed and not the cursed. I thank you, Father God, that the devil has no answer for your blessing. None. And that if we can simply believe, just believe, all things are possible. Lord, we can operate in supernatural authority and seeing the supernatural accomplished in our day. Because you love us and how good you are. Father, we give you thanks today. We give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to make a confession with me. I want you to say it because you believe it, not because I'm telling you to say it. I want you to say this: I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am supernaturally charged with the power of God. There is no evil force that can overcome the power of God that flows to me and through me. I am the blessed. I have authority that comes in Jesus' name. I do what He said. I enjoy my life because it's a good life in Jesus. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now just worship Him for a moment. Just thank Him for it. Come on, Lord, I just thank you for this power. I thank you for the authority. I thank you for your love in our lives. I thank you, God, that you, your grace, your favor is all over us this morning, that we can do supernatural things because you love us. Father, we thank you. We love you because you love us. Lord, we give you praise today in Jesus' name.